Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hi, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast here at MODEX 2020, and we are in the New Warehouse Podcast booth, and I am joined now by Coleman Roach. He is the VP of Sales and Consulting for Swiss Log. So Coleman, welcome to the show. Welcome to our booth. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming over. And I see you have your Swiss Log red on, the red sneakers as well.
Absolutely. Part of the brand.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about Swiss Log and what Swiss Log does.
So Swiss Log it's been around for over 100 years. It's best known for large pallet handling types of systems, automated pallets in warehouses, ASRS and so forth.
Okay.
It's divided into three groups. One of the fastest growing division is the e-commerce and retail division.
Right.
So we have a number of different products, some existing well-known product types like shuttles and so forth. We also we're the largest integrator of the auto store.
Right.
So we have more sites than anybody else, both in North America and across the world. And also Carry Pick, which for anybody who knows the old Kiva type bots is a much larger version of the old Kiva bots that we deploy, particularly in the e-commerce and apparel space.
Okay, great. And so you said you're primarily on the pallet movement side. So now, but everything's growing towards e-commerce. So how did that kind of transition work, and how have you been able to kind of boost that side of the business?
So a number of years ago, Swiss Log bought an integrator based in Cincinnati, and then leveraged that background to get more and more deeply into the e-commerce and retail space. At the same time, the various European parts of Swiss Log were getting more and more into e-commerce as well.
Right.
So leveraged some of the capabilities, a lot of the development capabilities, product development are based in Europe. And also software is in North America as well as Europe as well as Malaysia. So took very much a global approach to developing products.
Okay, definitely. So now you guys have a partnership with KUKA Robotics as well, right?
KUKA is our parent. They own us.
Oh, okay. So now how does that kind of disseminate down then into the different business units that you have and all the different companies and things that you work with?
Well, we leverage their robotic background. They're probably best known for large automotive products, automotive assembly, and those types of things. But for quite some time, they've also done much smaller robots. And so the best-known product that we have is called Item Pick, where you use a small robotic arm to pick out of totes that are presented from auto stores or from the Carry Pick shuttle. The shuttle products.
Okay, so I'm envisioning it, and I guess the auto store sends out the tote, and then the arm actually goes and picks the product, right?
That is exactly correct, yeah.
Okay, cool. And now, what are you guys exhibiting this year at MODEX?
This year, we have a selection of our products. We have the Cyclone Carrier, which is which is our shuttle. We have Carry Pick, which is our Kiva-like bot.
Right.
One of the things our customers like about the Kiva bot is that it is is that it takes a lot more product than the Kiva did. Essentially, as you can imagine, over time, products develop, get larger, have larger capabilities.
Of course.
So we can present a lot more product in front of a picker at a time. Mm-hmm. We're showing you the auto store, and then we have our some of our pallet handling technologies as well.
Okay.
It's all tied together by our software, which is known as SYNQ, S-Y-N-Q. And so that basically provides a common interface across all of our different products to the human interface component.
Interesting. Yeah, actually, as I was on the way over here to meet you, I walked past your booth and I saw the auto store mascot jumping around over there.
Yeah, that doesn't come one with every system or anything. So that's a show only.
I was going to say, that was a selling point for me. I got to get a mascot too. Okay, so obviously you guys are working in a lot of different aspects of automation in different parts, like from small pieces to big pallets, like you said. And so, you know, what do you see is the big demand coming from customers in terms of optimization, automation? What are they asking for the most right now?
So what they're asking for are things like flexibility, particularly, as opposed to a particular product. I mean, from a user's point of view, they're not necessarily focused on a particular product. They're looking for the capabilities of what that product brings to their business.
Okay.
And traditionally, one of the things that automation has struggled with over time is the concept of flexibility, both in terms of operational flexibility and in terms of how you can add on to systems.
Right.
You know, one of the challenges, if you're building a large shuttle system, then you and it tends to expand it, you still have to build out all of the conveyor and those types of things at the very beginning, which inherently, technically, it's flexible, but it's not as flexible as, let's say, an operator might like it to be. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, we are lucky enough to have in both the AutoStore and the CarryPick two of the most flexible products on the market.
Okay.
1/6 of our North American deployments of AutoStore we have expanded while they're still in operation.
Oh, wow. So no shutdown.
No shutdown.
That's awesome.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, people tend to think of material handling systems in terms of large blocks, you know.
Right.
Let's say long, skinny blocks for shuttles and mini loads and those types of things. Mm-hmm. But one of the things about the AutoStore is it can be L-shaped. It can go around the corners of buildings. It can fit around other operations. So it gives you a lot of design flexibility so that the technology doesn't become a constraint in the warehouse. So a lot of design flexibility from that point of view, even to the point that it can even fit into triangular kind of picture a railroad side, a building backing onto a railroad side that's partly triangular. Mm-hmm. You can actually fit into that kind of space as well.
Interesting.
The CarryPick, while it's quite a different type of product with the the 8-foot tall shelving that's brought to the picker. You can also add onto those in phases as well. In other words, you can just ring fence an area that's outside of the current system, put in the necessary pieces, and then it's a really short. It's like an overnight kind of ramp up. Essentially, it's a matter of taking the configured software and merging it to the existing software, and away you go.
Got it.
So again, operational flexibility. You can start small and get really comfortable with the technology, and then you can go on from there.
Definitely. So I think that's huge because, you know, before a lot of these, or I guess the idea was that automation and implementing all these different things is going to take me down, my operation and all these things. So hearing that you can just expand upon it without any shutdown at all, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And I think that's, you know, we've come a long way in that sense, right?
That's very true.
Right. So so now Swisslog was involved in automation fairly early on. So, you know, what are you guys continuing to do, I guess, to keep up with changes in technology? How do you stay on top of, I guess, you know, customers' requests like we just discussed, and then how do you kind of start to develop things that maybe customers don't know they need yet?
Well, that's an interesting challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, in part, if you look in the rearview mirror, the fact that we work with KUKA and get into item picking kind types of approaches gives a lot of forward looking, because that item picking it's still emerging. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, a lot of companies around who have developed some technology but really haven't deployed it in large scale.
Right.
And deploying new technologies in large scale tends to be what separates the men from the boys. Mm-hmm. Because only when you're dealing with, say, in an AutoStore with a lot, 100, 200 robots running around, that's when you start really understanding where the software needs more development and, right. And those types of things. The same is true in other types of technologies over time. And you'll see the depth of a company's ability, both in terms of technological expertise and also in terms of deep pockets sometimes. When you go in the development world, things go bump in the night at times, and you have to be big enough to be able to deal with those types of things. Mm-hmm. In the more forward-looking end of things, understanding where customers really want to go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're also active in the e-grocery space, for example, mm-hmm. and one of the challenges is that everybody who is there, all of the grocery companies are still going through a massive learning process. There's no one recipe that works. Mm-hmm. So being really listening to your customers and also setting up groups within the company who can be agile enough for software development and those types of things, mm-hmm. to be able to keep up with or be able to propose to your customers, hey, you know, maybe, you know, let's talk about this problem that you're seeing over here. Maybe we can work in some of those directions and maybe co-develop.
Definitely. Okay. Very interesting. So now, what do you think? So, I mean, you guys are heavily involved in the automation world, obviously, and you know. So, what do you think from now? You know, we're at MODEX 2020, right? So, what do you think like MODEX 2030 looks like? Because obviously, I mean, from ProMat last year to now, we're seeing robots and automation everywhere. How do you think we expand upon that in the industry?
I think you'll see some things that are being played with now that mm-hmm. people are. Trying, unloading and loading of trucks.
Right.
That is still very much in its infancy. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be 5 to 10 years before you really see. It's an incredibly complex set of operations, mm-hmm. Working in a very confined space. So it's everything that robots struggle with, in a sense. But I think over the next 10 years, you'll see a whole lot more in those kind of spaces. Mm-hmm. You'll definitely see more in the AI-driven things. You see some pretty cool vision-driven systems in item picking and those types of things. They'll move it to another level. Mm-hmm. You'll see some of the companies that you're around here today won't be around because there's a natural, there's a whole bunch of companies running into certain segments, mm-hmm. and inevitably some of them will be bought up, some of them will fail, and some of them will succeed. So you'll see over the next 2 or 3 years, you'll see some changes as far as that goes. And then there'll be another round of
new stuff,
whatever's next. One of the really cool things is the rate of invention is now faster.
Oh, yeah.
Than ever before. You know, 10 years ago or 12 years ago at ProMat, our predecessor to MODEX, mm-hmm. Technology development looked pretty stagnant year to year.
Right.
Now it's in a really exciting place, which is there's a much wider variety of solutions, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, somebody who comes here to try and find something for their business is more likely to be able to find what they're looking for.
Right.
It also, you know, with all the supply chain programs and third level colleges and that's only going to increase over time as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think your comment about, you know, how technology is growing so rapidly and invention is becoming faster. I mean, even I've worked in distribution space for like 8 years now, even in that time, seems like in the past 2-3 years, seeing how automation and robotics and all that stuff is just kind of, I don't know, gone crazy in a sense, just exploded. It's pretty wild. So it would be interesting to see how everything kind of lines up in the next 10 years, like you talked about.
I think one of the interesting things that you've seen is labor constraints, availability of labor, mm-hmm. which for those of us who have been around a while, before the 2008 recession, you mm-hmm. actually saw early signs of that.
Right.
And and the recession solved it in a sense. But one of the curious things about the most recent recovery is that it took a long time for labor mm-hmm. utilization to go up. You know, in the macro sense, you know, a lot of politicians and so forth fretted about, you know, jobs not becoming available until relatively late in the cycle, and then it's changed very rapidly. And so I think you'll see those kind of cycles morph over time with the availability of technology. You know, I mean, at some point, whenever there's another economic bump in the road, the recovery from that will be different, and I think you'll see a lot more robots involved in it. You know, we talked to a customer, hopefully a customer, we'll see, a prospective customer today who they have some, you know, they have an operation that feeds into their manufacturing processes, and really what they're interested in doing is they struggle with getting people. They'd like to take the people who are involved in picking type processes, which are less value added than manufacturing processes, shift them into their manufacturing operation, and do more robots into the picking operations.
Right.
So that's the type of thing that we're talking about with them.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for coming by the booth, and we will post more information about this. And how can we find out more information about Swisslog?
Swisslog.com.
Very easy, swisslog.com. All right, we'll put that on the newwarehouse.com as well. So Coleman, thank you so much, and hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.